You are listening to the Nightline Sports Network, brought to you by Travis Dever and the Dever team, 386-690-1636.
Welcome to the AAC Report, only on the Nightline Sports Network. I'm Jeff Allen. Thanks so much for listening. Coming up, we'll get you set for Week 4 action in the American, including our Spotlight Game of the Week, the Battle for the Bell, Tulane hosting Southern Miss. Corey Glore, the voice of the Green Wave, will join us to talk about that game, as well as Tulane's hot start to the season so far. That is coming up in just a few moments. But first, we look at the Week 3 scoreboard, and it went something like this. The battle for the victory bell was Cincinnati defeating Miami of Ohio 38-17. That series was tied up all time at 57-57-7, but the Bearcats' victory now gives them the lead in the series, and that, by the way, is their 16th straight win in that series. Temple was defeated by Rutgers 16-14. Tulane, as we mentioned, off to a hot start, 3-0 to start the season. They topped Kansas State 17-10. Houston lost again in the Big 12 action against Kansas 48-30. East Carolina romped over Campbell 49-10. Memphis outdueled Arkansas State 44-32. Tulsa was a big winner over Jacksonville State 54-17. UCF romped over Florida Atlantic 40-14. The South Florida Bulls nearly pulled the upset, but eventually fell to a late rally to the Florida Gators, losing that one 31-28. And SMU, hosting Big Ten action, lost to Maryland 34-27. Week 4 action looks like this on the schedule. Saturday at noon, South Florida at Louisville. That'll be on ACC Regional Networks. The Cardinals lead the all-time series 6-5 and won the last time they met back in 2013. The battle for the Iron Skillet, once again, between TCU and SMU. And that, of course, is a little tastier this time around, as Sonny Dykes has moved from the SMU side to the TCU side. That's a noon kickoff on ESPNU. The Horned Frogs lead the all-time series 51-42, and there have been 7 ties. And SMU won the last meeting back in September a year ago. Temple plays host to Massachusetts, 2 o'clock on ESPN+. The Owls have both won both meetings in that series, including the last time they played in 2017. North Texas at Memphis, 3:30 on ESPN+. Memphis dominates this series 16-4. Last time, though, they met 2003 was the last time, I should say, and Memphis did win that contest. Indiana at Cincinnati, a rematch from last year when the Bearcats pulled up the upset. This time, it's in Cincy's place. 3:30 on ESPN2. Indiana leads the all-time series 9-4. There have been 2 ties. Georgia Tech is at UCF, 4 o'clock ESPNU. Georgia Tech leads the all-time series 3-1, but UCF got their first victory in that series back in 2020 by a 49-21 victory. Tulsa at Ole Miss, that's 4 o'clock on the SEC Network. Tulsa's won all 3 meetings between those two schools, but the last time they played was back in 1964. Rice at Houston, that's the Bayou Bucket Classic, 6 o'clock on ESPN+. Houston leads the all-time series 32-11, and they also won last year's contest 44-7. Navy at East Carolina in conference action, 6 o'clock on ESPN+. The Midshipmen lead the all-time series 7-2. East Carolina, though, won a thrill of 38-35 last year. And up next, we'll talk about our Spotlight Game of the Week, the Battle for the Bell. Tulane hosting Southern Miss. Corey Glore, the voice of the Green Wave, joins us to discuss that when the AAC report continues after this.
Hey, this is Travis Dever, Kai's Real Estate, the Dever team, New Smyrna Beach, your source for real estate and everything else, New Smyrna Beach. Proud sponsor of Nightline. Call me anytime at 386-690-1636. That's 386-690-1636. Let me show you my hometown, New Smyrna Beach, UCF's favorite beach. Go Knights and charge on.
An auto accident can change your life forever. At Chad Barr Law, we are raising the bar on what to expect from your personal injury attorney. Hi, I'm Chad Barr, and I want you to know that our entire team is dedicated to providing you with the representation you deserve in your greatest time of need. If you or a loved one have been injured in an auto accident, call 407-599-9036 for a free consultation or visit ChadBarrLaw.com. At Chad Barr Law, our clients come to us in need and leave us family. Offices, Altamont Springs.
Looking for more out of your Porsche? Look no further than Flat6Motorsports.com. They have the widest selection of aftermarket Porsche parts anywhere in the world. With over 85 product lines and in-depth expertise, Flat6Motorsports.com is your one-stop shop for any Porsche performance needs. Whether you're shopping for intakes, exhausts, suspension, or tuning, they have you covered. Flat6Motorsports.com is the premier Porsche aftermarket specialist. Check them out at Flat6Motorsports.com.
All right, time now to talk about our Spotlight Game of the Week as we get set for a big battle between Tulane and Southern Miss. It's the battle for the bell, and joining us for that discussion, Corey Glore, the voice of the Tulane Green Wave, is with us. Corey, it's great to have you back for another football season.
Yeah, thanks for having me back on here and talk about, I would imagine, a few games that Tulane has both had and is upcoming here.
Yeah, so let's talk about so far a 3-0 start of the season, coming up a big win over Kansas State. And first time Tulane's been 3-0 in a very, very long time. Give me your assessment on the start of the season so far.
Well, it's already a much better start than last year, I'll give you that. But yeah, 3-0 for the first time since 1998, and that year is revered here as it was an undefeated season, and it's still in lore here at this school. So yeah, there are some light discussions about 24 years ago right now. It's far too early in this year to think down that road, no question. But yeah, I mean, the start to this year has been mighty impressive. And, you know, the first 2 weeks when you're seeing a UMass and an Alcorn State, you go out and you roll them, which you should do, even with a 2-10 year you're coming off of from a season ago. But to go into Kansas State, who was getting so much publicity about what they could potentially be in the Big 12 this year and how they waxed Missouri, and hearing so much about Deuce Vaughn, their running back, and that really tough, tricky defense to figure out. And for Tulane to go in there and to not just win that game, but, you know, 7 points doesn't really tell you about how they really controlled that game, aside from about a 5-minute stretch in the first half. They were the better team, the aggressor. And so now it wasn't a fluke that they got that win. It was they performed like they should have gotten a win like that. And so now we enter this week with some true positive attention on this program. And after everything last year, it's been a nice welcome sight this week to have so much, I guess, goodwill heading towards this program right now.
Yeah. So, of course, this week we mentioned Southern Miss in a rivalry game, and, you know, a team that they boat raced last year. So this will be an interesting contrast as they play host in this game.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say it was 2 years ago, the yes. Southern Miss matchup. But that was a big game for a couple of reasons, not just winning the game and keeping the bell, but that was the first game for Michael Pratt as the quarterback of this team. He came in early on in that game, and he has not relinquished this job, and now he's in his third year. That was also Tajay Spears went down with his ACL injury in that game. And so I think he's had this matchup on his mind since he's gotten back to full strength. And that was, you know, when that game happened, you know, I did radio in Hattiesburg earlier today. And they were talking about how that game had a lot of fans asking about the offensive coordinator at Tulane, Will Hall. And now Will Hall is the head coach at Southern Miss. And so there are a lot of reasons why that game in 2020 is such a, I guess, a talking point this week. There are so many relations that exist still between the two programs. The two defensive coordinators are very good friends. And so it's not just Willie Fritz and Will Hall and the relationship they had, and Will Hall running this defense or this offense for a couple of years before going to Hattiesburg, but also the defenses are pretty similar in terms of how they operate. On top of that, Keeping the Bell, Michael Pratt's debut, Tajay Spears' injury, 2 hours separate us, and there was already a lot of interest about this game before the year started, and now at the start that Tulane has had, it's kind of cranked up to 11 here.
And you mentioned the debut of Michael Pratt. Now it's interesting too when you look back at when he started, and you can see this kid had some moxie to him, and that he is kind of the right guy to play quarterback. And we saw the near upset of Oklahoma and the guts and guile he showed in that game, and now he's really maturing into be a very special football player. Can you talk about that progression in his career?
Yeah, I think if you're able to watch the Kansas State game, you saw where it's been from, when he started in Hattiesburg or didn't start. He came in that game, and now to where he is as a third-year quarterback. He did not have his finest game against Kansas State. He threw a couple of interceptions, and one of them was a bad interception. You would admit to that. But when this team needed him to be great, he was great. He led the go-ahead drive with 5 minutes left in the game. And then the fourth down call that has now garnered, waves around the country, pun not intended. He fumbled that snap, and he was able to still keep his cool, get the ball, and still push forward to secure the win. It was funny. I saw him on Monday, and he's been getting some media requests after the fallout of the Kansas State game and now leading into Southern Miss. And he was kind of rolled his eyes a little bit about how now he's being asked to do all this stuff. And I said, Michael, this is what happens when you have dog in you. And the game on Saturday was, I think, Michael Pratt as dog, as he didn't have his finest moments. And this offense did struggle throughout that game. But when he needed to lead this team, he led this team and led that offense down the field and got that win. He is, I don't like to use the word gamer. I think that's very cliche. But man alive, is he a fighter. And when this team has asked him to step forward in big moments, and admittedly there haven't been as many as his program would have liked in his time since he took over as quarterback, he has come through. And Saturday is the most recent representation of that. Think about being thrown into that environment in Hattiesburg 3 years ago as a true freshman to where he is now as a third year as a leader of this team, both on and off the field. It's been, an amazing rise for him. And now he's getting a lot of national attention, not just for performing well, but performing well and leading this team to a big time win.
Yeah. And, you can't do it alone, right? So the defense was also very impressive, holding Kansas State to, 336 total yards and 10 points. And some big fourth down stops, Nick Anderson leading the way on the defense with that. So, getting that complimentary football is certainly huge.
I mean, the defense is, the first two opponents are who they are. There's no denying that UMass is going to struggle this year. Alcorn is a decent FCS team that should compete in the SWAC, but they're a decent SWAC team. This defense doing what they did to Kansas State, which had just run all over Missouri, and you're talking about SEC bodies, human beings on that Missouri team, regardless of what you think about where Missouri is right now, is our SEC human beings. And they waxed them. And so for this defense to go into Manhattan on a day in which everyone was cramping, it was mid-90s as the high, and down on that field was probably 115, and nobody missed a beat. It was wherever Deuce Vaughn was trying to go, there was a blue shirt there to stop him. The game plan was to make Adrian Martinez throw the ball, and they made him throw the ball. He had an efficient day, but he had one pass over 20 yards. It happened to be the only touchdown Kansas State scored. This defense has not been penalized yet this year. They have not allowed a point in the second half this year. What they have done to start this season is beyond my expectation. And to do it last week against a Big 12 team that many were talking about as dark horse in that league and still might be, but to do it against that team in that environment after the two sterling weeks he had to start the year, but really level up in competition. That's one of the best defensive performances I've ever seen. They never flinch. You talk about the fourth down stops, Jeff, and there's a third one of those that will always stick in my brain because nearly the entire starting defense was out for that drive. About half of them are cramping up. And so this was mid to late third quarter. And as a kid by the name of Bailey Disfaney, redshirt freshman, didn't play it down last year, has seen a little bit of time this year as a backup safety. And he's the one who dove in to make the stop on fourth down on Deuce Vaughn and turn it over. It was everybody. To get the depth out of this defense, that was a big question for Willie Fritz heading into the year. And in their first major test, they got the depth and they got it in overwhelming fashion.
Now let's talk a little bit about Willie Fritz. So seventh season now, and, you know, and I'm sure, you know, 2-10, you look at, you know, last year as an aberration. I find this to be a compelling story because, you know, people want microwave results, you know, you know, two seasons, you know, yeah, take us from bottom to top. You know, Willie Fritz has had to build a program and build a system. And it speaks to the you know, university that they've allowed that plan to work out. And now you're getting another season of watching him work and do his craft. Give me some more impressions on Coach Fritz.
Well, what stood out to me, and I don't remember if I talked to you about this kind of after the year ended or not, but what stood out to me is after everything of last year, and, you know, saying a year is an aberration is one thing. Going on proving that it is different. And so far, they've already exceeded their win total from last year. So it's a pretty good sign that last year was an aberration. 9 games left to go. They still got to do what they need to do, no question. But saying that it was an aberration is only half the battle. This team, this program, lost one major piece of their puzzle to the transfer portal last year. That was their nose tackle, who is now the nose tackle at Oklahoma. He leveled up. There's no question about that. The recruiting class stayed intact. They brought some big-time transfers in, guys that are born and raised in New Orleans that were at Power 5 schools and wanted to come home. And that's a big element of how Willie Fritz works the transfer portal, is this is such a talent-rich community that when, you know, starting D-tackle Patrick Jenkins was at TCU, now he's here. One of our running backs, Rashad Clayton, hometown kid, was at Colorado, now he's here. That's the way that Willie Fritz tends to operate in the portal. You know, a couple wide receivers, one of them here in town played at Notre Dame. The other one was a high school teammate of Michael Pratt, who was at Maryland. Like, it's stuff like that that he's been really savvy with. And to not lose major pieces to your puzzle, to keep a veteran team intact, to retain your recruiting class and pick up really strong wins in the transfer portal, means that there's clearly something within this program that is thriving and working. And, you know, again, I did a show in Hattiesburg earlier today, and they were talking about how his name doesn't get thrown around much for other jobs. And we love the fact that that's not happening here in New Orleans, because we see what he's doing here. And, you know, yeah, it's, you know, it's been 7 win seasons and 6 win seasons in his early days here in New Orleans, and who knows where this year might go. But to build a true and foster an honest-to-goodness program here, in which guys want to play here, want to come play here, amidst all of the academic requirements of the school, the monetary requirements, if you don't get a scholarship here, it's very expensive to go here. But they want to come here and want to stay here. That is a testament to Willie Fritz, not just as a coach, but as a person, and creating this environment where it is appealing to be here and to now win games being here. It's hard to put your finger on exactly what he's able to do, but he's doing it. And now that this team's 3-0, it's starting to get a little bit more attention.
Of course, I know you guys want to take care of business this weekend, but then after that, it's conference play. And you can go back to a lot of things that the American is a tough football conference to make a living in. And, you know, you look at going into this season, you know, Cincinnati, obviously a favorite just because of their past, but they've got different personnel this year. Yeah. Houston has had their struggles, UCF could be a contender, but then you started to look down the line, East Carolina as a team on the rise, Tulane's off to a good start. This could be a very wide open scenario in the conference this year.
You know, it could be. I think we're certainly hoping that it is because we were preseason 7, I believe, in the league, maybe 8. So it was somewhere in that area. The challenge that Tulane will have is that the league schedule for us features a trip to Houston and a trip to Cincinnati. That bookends our conference play. So we're in Houston next Friday night, and then we end the year at Cincinnati Thanksgiving weekend. We have to go on the road to those two teams. We don't get Navy. We don't get Temple on this schedule. And those are the teams you kind of look at right now. It's in the bottom, although Navy looks a little bit better than they were last year. So the conference schedule is making up for the fact that the non-conference schedule is more appetizing in terms of picking up wins for Tulane this year. But, when I initially looked at the schedule heading into the year, I saw five honest swing games for this team. And, UCF is one of them, getting UCF here at home. It's later in the year. So by that point, you'd like to think that, John Rhys Plumlee is a lot more established in that offense with Gus Malzahn running it. And there's just weapons all over the place for UCF. But having SMU at home, and I think they're still kind of a wild card with everything that, new coach, but Tanner Mordecai is a veteran. East Carolina is about as physical of a team as you're going to find in the league. Going to Tulsa, Tulsa's given us fits the last couple of years. That's the same defense that Kansas State runs, and it has been tricky for us to figure out. We host Memphis, and so those are the games where you can pick off a winning record of those, and you're going to love where you sit come end of the year. Now, after this most recent win, talk's starting to shift a little bit. You got to finish off non-conference, though. And the main discussion this week has been, great, thanks for the attention. Maybe our biggest arch rival's coming in now this weekend. And if we lay a dud here, then all this goodwill's gone. But you can, I looked at non-conferences, get out of that 3-1, and then you are in a position to get back to postseason. If you can get out of it 4-0, it goes beyond that talk by this point. You don't want to be in a spot where you're not resting on your laurels from beating Kansas State and you see that Houston's looming next week, because that will put you in a real spot of bother this Saturday night. So ask me again this time next week about the prospects of this team. But I'll tell you what, they've looked the part. And if they keep looking the part, then, yeah, the conversation begins to shift a little bit more from getting back to a bowl game to doing some damage here.
Yeah, and I kind of like to think of those situations too, because you mentioned, the amount of veterans that came back on this team. If you survive a 2-10 season, there's something that can grow out of that, and this could be that season.
Our last game last year was at Memphis, and this team really probably should have won that game. Tajay Spears at 264 yards on the ground. It's fourth highest in school history. And I talked to him after the game, and I said, what was the driving motivator for you? And, the season is done. The season was done, frankly, 2 months before that. To have a performance like that, what pushed you to do that? And he said, I wanted to show everybody on this team that next season started now. And that message was really sunk deep into this team as soon as that plane landed from the trip to Memphis last year. The way that this team operated in the winter prior to spring ball and grew together and just genuinely bonded more than what we saw last year. And now, that happens with a lot of teams around the country, but now to see it play out in the first quarter of this season, where everything looks more cohesive, where everything looks like it is on the same page, where a defense that is confusing to play, this Tulane defense, and Kansas State can now attest to that. Everyone knows what they're supposed to be doing. An offense, which was such a wild up and down last year, there were points where they were putting up 40 points a game, but their quarterback was getting hurt. And then, you know, the game at UCF last year was miserable offensive performance and just the wild ebbs and flows. Well, now everyone's on the same page and everyone knows where they're supposed to be. So to see like them labor through that season and use that to drive them to what they've started with this year, that's been incredibly impressive to see from this group.
Well, outstanding stuff as always, Corey. We do appreciate your time. So if you would like to make some shameless plugs for your endeavors there as the voice of the Green Wave, please feel free.
Well, endeavor is almost too big of a word for what I do, Jeff. This is an endeavor. This is you make this. This is your show here. And I hope this time next year you still talk to me. Like, what's going to happen here? Like, I don't know what's going to happen. I just got our basketball schedule. We're not coming to Orlando this year, and that bums me out. Going to Orlando again. And so, like, I don't get to go back to the Magic Kingdom here. But, yeah, on Twitter, at Corey Glore, you'll see a lot of Tulane stuff, flying your way. And then, by all means, whenever UCF's not playing, whenever you're not listening to Mark, you can find us and give us a listen. The Varsity Network app is where you can find the Tulane Sports Network or the Tulane Athletics app. We're a 7 o'clock Eastern kick this Saturday night against a game that has been circled on many calendars here around this program. I mean, this is the biggest rival this school has is LSU. LSU doesn't play us. They don't want to play us. Southern Miss is the next is 1A and they play us and we love playing them and vice versa. And so this has been, I think it's probably the best type of opponent you could ask for, Jeff, after a win like last week, because it's kept these guys focused in. The bell has been sitting in our athletics building right in the lobby all week, and they walk past it every day to get to the locker room and go to practice and go to class and all that stuff. You don't have to get up for this one. Like, this building's going to be rowdy. USM brings plenty of folks. And so it's probably the best opponent you could ask for after such an emotional high and now national attention. So if you feel like tuning in, by all means, we'd love to have you, because I think it's going to be a pretty fun night.
Outstanding. Corey, thanks again.
Thank you, Jeff.
Tulane hosting Southern Miss, 7 o'clock on ESPN+. Southern Miss leads the all-time series 23-9. And however, Tulane romped big last year, as we discussed earlier, 66-24. Turning now to our awards for the week, the Offensive Player of the Week, John Rice Plumlee of UCF. His second game this season with 300 passing yards and 100 rushing yards in their victory over Florida Atlantic. 25-36 for a career-high 339 yards and a touchdown. Also had 121 rush yards, 2 touchdowns on 16 carries. So he totaled up 460 yards of total offense. The Defensive Player of the Week, Nick Anderson of Tulane, as he was big in their victory over Kansas State, tied for the team lead with 6 tackles, including a tackle for loss with a quarterback hurry, and 2 of his stops came on 4th down plays as Tulane held the Wildcats to 1-for-5 on 4th down and 2-for-15 on 3rd down. The Special Teams Player of the Week is Mason Fletcher of Cincinnati. He averaged 48.2 on 5 punts, including dropping one inside the 5-yard line and hitting another for a career-long 67 yards in their big victory over Miami of Ohio. Back with some other news and notes and more when the AAC report continues after this.
If you haven't figured it out yet, I love Tijuana Flats. I would love them even if they weren't a partner with us on the Nightline Sports Network. They have all kinds of great Tex-Mex food, and it's fresh, by the way. Made to order, burritos, tacos, enchiladas, chimichangas, quesadillas, bowls, nachos, and taco salads. And if you haven't tried the queso, you are completely missing out. It is the best queso that I've ever had in my life. Absolutely hands down. And the sauce bar that they have, everything from wild to mild in there. Absolutely awesome, awesome stuff. Not only do I love the food at Tijuana Flats, but I love the company, a UCF-born company. And they give back to the community with the Justin Queso Foundation. So head to your local Tijuana Flats. Tex-Mex for everyone. Hey Jeep Wrangler owners, have you ever sat in your office at work and watched the rain just pour into your Jeep because the weatherman said that there was a zero chance of rain? Or you put your doors back on because there was a 100% chance and then not a drop of rain fell? Well, there's a company out there that can help take the worry away and give you the peace of mind to be without your doors. The company's called Life Without Doors. They make waterproof rain curtains and dash covers for Wranglers. Life Without Doors is there to help make the decision to leave the doors at home an easy one. Find out more at lifewithoutdoors.com.
Spice up your company with homemade marketing services from Tasty Gravy Creative. Tasty Gravy serves up a menu of budget-friendly marketing, graphic design, and public relations services customized to your specific goals. Co-owned by a UCF graduate, Tasty Gravy can help refresh your brand, strengthen your online presence, or reinforce your company's message. Contact Tasty Gravy for help with your website, social media, marketing, advertising materials, and more. Visit tastygravy.com.
All right, let's check in on volleyball, where the offensive player of the week is McKenna Melville of UCF. Another impressive week, finishing 6.55 points per set, 5.45 kills per set, and hit 336 in three wins over number 23 Kansas, Omaha, and Lipscomb. And against the Jayhawks, she finished with 23 kills. She broke the UCF career kill record against Lipscomb that had stood for 25 years. The defensive player of the week is Marta Piccoli of Tulsa, anchoring their defense with 6.64 digs per set, and had a weekend high 33 in the win over Sam Houston. Now we turn to soccer on the women's side. Jordan Frederick is the offensive player of the week, scored both of their goals and game winners as the Golden Hurricane defeated Temple and Oral Roberts in consecutive 1-0 games. The defensive player of the week is Haley Spray of Memphis, as she led the Tiger back line in their shutout of UCF, only allowed 3 shots on goal in that scoreless draw. The goalkeeper of the week is Caroline Delisle of UCF. She made 7 saves in that scoreless contest with Memphis and also made 5 saves in a draw at number 20 Texas on Sunday. And the rookie of the week is Tatum Sanders of Tulsa. The goalkeeper recorded a pair of clean slates as they picked up 1-0 victories over Temple and Oral Roberts. On the men's side, Stefan Afrifa of FIU, he is the offensive player of the week as he helped the Panthers take down number 10 Tulsa, had 2 goals in their 3-0 victory. The defensive of the week is Lassie Larson of Charlotte, played all but 5 minutes and 2 clean sheets, and Charlotte gave up just 6 total shots on goal in their 5th straight clean sheet of the season. The goalkeeper of the week is Colin Welsh of Memphis. Got the Tigers off to a 1-0 start in conference play. 5 saves and a clean sheet in their victory over number 12 SMU. The rookie of the week is Alberto Cruz of Memphis, as he came through in the 64th minute with that game-winning goal in that victory over the Mustangs. Cross-country men's athlete of the week is Tyler Wirth of Cincinnati. He led the Bearcats to a 2nd place team finish at the Spartan Invitational in East Lansing, Michigan. Placed 6 out of 256 runners, running a time of 24:45.84 in the 8K. He ran a sub-5-minute mile and even fell outside of the top 7 in the field. The Women's Athlete of the Week is Isabella Richardson of UCF. Had historic performance of the Knights, setting a UCF freshman record time of 17:12.38. In the 5K at the North Alabama Showcase, her time broke the record by over 30 seconds and was also the 4th best time in program history. And that's going to wrap it up for this week's show. As always, please follow me on Twitter at JeffAllen_88, and you can follow the Nightline Sports Network at UCF_Nightline. This has been the AAC Report, only on the Nightline Sports Network. I'm Jeff Allen. Thanks for listening.